Nyanavahini Chapter 8. You can see without eyes, hear without ears, speak without the tongue, smell without the nose, touch without the body, walk without legs, yes, ever experience without the mind. For you are the pure essence itself. You are the Supreme Self. You have no understanding of this truth, so you are drowned in ignorance. You feel you are the senses only, and therefore you experience misery. The five senses are all bound up with the mind. The mind it is that separately activates the senses and is affected by their reactions. Man reads through the mind-associated eye, and so he fails. But the Jnani has the Divya Chakshu, the divine eye, for he has the divine vision. He can hear and see without the aid of the senses. As said in the Gita, the Lord's feet are everywhere. The Lord's hands are everywhere. His eyes, his ears are everywhere. So he sees all. He does all. Devoid of senses, he makes all senses function. To grasp this mystery, the path of jnana has to be trodden. That path is very helpful. When a person develops into a full jnani, he becomes it himself. And it is merged in him and both become indistinguishable. Then he realizes that he is the inscrutable, the indefinable Brahman, not limited by the illusory superimposition of name and form. When fire burns, its light can be discerned from a distance. But those who are far cannot hope to feel its warmth. So too, it is easy to describe the splendor of jnana for persons who are far from acquiring it. But only those who have actually neared it and felt it and are immersed in it can experience the warmth, the joy, the melting away of the illusion. For this, continuous tapas, continuous meditation on God, these are needed. The pure essence can be known by the sadhana of bhakti. The goal of bhakti is indeed jnana. When an author writes a play, the entire play will already be in his mind before he sets pen on paper. Act after act, scene after scene, if he has no picture of the entire drama in his mind, he will never entertain the idea of writing it at all, will he? But take the case of the audience. They grasp the story only after the drama is fully over. It unfolds itself scene by scene. Once they have understood the theme, they too can confidently describe to others the purport of the play. Similarly for the Lord, this drama of time with its three acts, the past, the present, and the future, are clear as crystal. In the twinkling of an eye, he grasps all three. For he is omniscient. It is his plan that is being worked out, his drama that is being enacted on the stage of creation. Both the actors and the spectators are lost in confusion, unable to surmise its meaning and its development. For how can one scene or one act reveal its meaning? The entire play has to be gone through for the story to reveal itself. Without a clear understanding of the play in which they are acting their roles, people cling to the error that they are jivis or sadhakas and waste away their lives, buffeted by the waves of joy and sorrow. When the mystery is cleared, and the play is discovered as mere play, the conviction dawns that you are he and he is you. Therefore, try to know the truth behind life. Search for the fundamental. Bravely pursue the underlying reality. Seekers of jnana must always be conscious of this. The Lord is in every heart, in the subtle as well as the gross forms. So the jnani, who has had a vision of the Atma presiding over the inner stage, will never be affected by sorrow. It can never hold sway over him. The Atma is in the ant and the elephant, in the atom as well as the atmosphere. Everything is saturated with Brahman. The seeker must divert his attention inwards from the exterior world. He must find out the origins of the agitations of the mind. This process will diminish and destroy the activities of the mind which make you doubt, discuss, and decide. From that stage onwards, the exhilaration of being Brahman oneself will be constant. This will stabilize the Sat Chit Ananda arising from that experience. Such a jnani can never be affected by joy or sorrow, however big. He will be immersed in the ocean of Atmanandam, blissfully unaware of the world around him, far above and beyond its coils. This is the discipline called Brahmabhyas. That is to say, the ever-present exercise of remembering the basic Brahman of the universe, praying to the formful aspect of that Brahman, speaking of his glory, being in his company, and living always in his presence. That is why the Panchadasi says, Tat Chintanam, Tat Kathanam, Anyonyam Tat Prabhodanam, Etat Ekaparam Thamcha, Jnanabhyasam Vidur Buddhaha. Meaning, thoughts dedicated to him alone, speech devoted to him alone, conversation centered on him alone. This one-pointed existence is referred to by the wise as the discipline of jnana. Here is the lesson taught in the Gita by Lord Krishna. Matchinta matgat prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. Meaning, they fix their mind on me. They survive only because they breathe me. They inform each other about me. They talk only of me. They are happy and content with these only. This ceaseless contemplation of the Lord is also referred to as Brahmachintana, or Jnanabhyas, or Atmabhyas. The mind pursues exterior objects only, either because of the pull of the senses or because of the delusion caused by superimposing on the external world the characteristics of permanence, etc. So it has to be again and again brought back to travel on to the correct goal. At first the job is hard. Still, by proper training, the agitations can all be calmed by the japam of Om. The training consists of Sama, Dana, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, and Samadhana. That is to say, the mind is controlled by good counsel, superior attractions, withdrawal from sensory objects, ability to bear the ups and downs of fortune, steadfastness, and equipoise. The recalcitrant mind can be slowly turned towards Brahmadhyana. If at first it is shown the sweetness of bhajan, the efficacy of prayer, and the calming effects of meditation. It must also be led on by the cultivation of good habits, good company, and good deeds. Dhyanam will, as it proceeds further and further, give rise to greater and greater keenness. Thus the mind has to be caged in the cave of the heart. The final result of this discipline is no less than nirvikalpa samadhi, the equanimity that is undisturbed. This samadhi is really speaking brahmajnana itself, the jnana that grants release or moksha. The discipline for this consists of three exercises: the giving up of craving, the elimination of mind, and the understanding of reality. These three have to be cultivated uniformly and with equal ardor. Otherwise success cannot be ensured. No one of them is enough. The instincts and impulses of asanas are too strong to yield easily. They make the senses active and greedy and bind the person tighter and tighter. Attention has therefore to be paid to the sublimation and subjugation of the senses and the promptings behind them, to the development of self-abnegation, the relentless pursuit of reason and discrimination, in order that the mind may not get mastery over man. When the mind is won, the dawn of jnana is heralded. The sadhaka has to be ever vigilant, for the senses might recoil any moment, especially when the yogi mixes with the world and the worldly. The basic truth must be kept constantly before the mind's eye. Wants should not be multiplied. Time should not be frittered away. No, not even a minute. The craving for one pleasant thing will give rise to another, for a still more pleasant thing. Cut at the very root of desire itself, and become master of yourself. The renouncing of desire will take you fast to the pinnacle of jnana. The jnani or the liberated person will be unaffected by joy or sorrow. For how can any event produce reactions in him who has wiped out his mind? It is the mind that makes you feel. When one has taken a drug that deadens the consciousness, he feels no pain or even joy, for the body is then separated from the mind. So too, wisdom when it dawns separates the mind and keeps it aloof from all contact. By special discipline, the turbulence of the mind can be calmed. As a result of this, it becomes possible to taste the bliss of the Atma, free from its pulls. The mind attracts him outwards and offers only external objective joy, but the wise man knows them to be fleeting. The Atma is enough for him to fulfill all his desire for happiness, complete and permanent. So he will have no need for the external world. The jnani will acquire some special powers too, through his beneficent resolutions, his beneficent promptings and purposes. Through these he can attain whatever he wishes. The greatness of the status of a jnani is indeed indescribable beyond your imagination. It is of the same nature as the splendor and magnificence of the Lord himself. Why, he becomes the Brahman that he has always been. That is why it is declared, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati, Brahmavid Apnothi Param. That is to say, he who has known Brahman becomes himself Brahman. He attains Brahmanhood. The fact that this world is unreal and Brahman alone is real must become patent. Then all impulses are destroyed, ignorance is demolished. The gem of jnana has been stolen by the mind. So if it is caught, the gem can be regained. The gem entitles you to the status and dignity of Brahman, which you assume immediately. The great souls who have won this Atma jnana deserve worship. They are holy, for they have attained Brahman, the right of everyone in the world, however great or whatever the tapas. That is the kingdom they seek, the honor they aspire for. This is the great mystery. The mystery elucidated in the Vedas, Upanishads and Shastras. The solving of this mystery makes life worthwhile. It is the key to liberation. Truth and untruth must be cut apart by means of the sharp sword of jnana. It keeps the world afar and brings the residence of the Lord within reach. That residence is Nityananda, eternal bliss, Paramananda, the highest bliss, Brahmananda, the bliss of Brahman itself.